David. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when we get to the place that messages, whatever they're in, whatever vehicle, music or spoken word, when we get to the place that messages don't move us, we're backslidden. There are just some songs that if I try to sing, I can't do it. There's a verse in Victory in Jesus. I have never been able to sing it in my life. There's a verse in Oh, the Love That Drew Salvation Plan. What's the name of that song? At Calvary. There's a verse in that whenever I try to sing it, I don't cry. I go to shouting. And a lot of people don't understand why I get so happy. They think I'm just emotional. No, my emotions have been loosened. And when I speak and say what God has meant to me and what God has done for me, it does something to me. And I'm going to get a blessing from it. And I think so many times we fail to just speak back to God the wonder of what he has done for us. I'm going to miss God if I don't do something. I want everybody to come to the altar. I want you to just get out on your knees. And I want you to just thank God for everything you can think of. Don't ask him for nothing. Don't try to impress him. Just thank him for everything you can think of. Y'all believe God's in that? Don't try to go back to your place now. You won't be able to get out of that crowd. I'll dismiss you in just a moment. If you can't get to the altar, just kneel in the aisle, wherever, whatever. If you want to pray out loud, it's all right. All of you praying out loud at the same time, not going to hurt anything. God knows the difference. Fact is, Psalmist said God likes to hear our voice. Our voice is pleasing to God. I was in a store the other day, and I heard a child say, "Papa," and it sounded just like one of my grandkids. My heart jumped inside me. That's the way God is toward our voice. Okay, I'll be quiet. Now you go ahead. Praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, help me, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Go back to your places. Isn't that sweet just to get with him every now and then and worship him and thank him and praise him? I've discovered that when my old heart is cold and I'm a bit indifferent or a lot indifferent, if I just get with God and go to praising him and thanking him for everything I can think of, it doesn't take long for me to get back where I need to be. Well, thank you, Brother Bill. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Can you hear me now? Are you listening to me? Well, I'm glad. That's unusual. But I'm glad you hit town. Ask the folks what I said about you now. You don't even want to know, he said. But we're grateful that Bill Strum has gotten to town. You lost some weight, hadn't you, son? And your legs are even getting more bowed. Of course, mine would, too, if I had that mass of meat up on top of mine. He didn't hear a word I said, did he? Where'd Martha go? Did she leave? Where her are? No, she's gone. Bill said, he hopes she's gone. Hopes she walked out on me. Listen, I've got some tapes on this front row over here. You might be interested in them. They're series of tapes that I put together when I was a pastor. One is on family life enrichment. And, well, you can go over and look at it and read about it. But now, please, buy them, will you? Because Wayne don't give us much offering. And if we have any money at all, we got to make it selling stuff. And I'm plumb out of my combs and my T-shirts and mirrors and things of that nature. I just sold out in my last meeting. And I hope y'all can firmly see my tongue in my cheek. I hope you can. And what I'm trying to do is get us back down to the level of preaching. I think we went a bit above the level of preaching just a while ago. I think the spirit of this church, and I was tempted just to turn us loose and not even attempt to preach, but I didn't have any witness of the spirit there that's what I ought to do. So I want us to get back down to where that I can monkey with your mind, because we are being deceived all around this land. Bill, you didn't even know what I spoke on yesterday. I talked to him yesterday about deception and how we're being deceived, and I'm pointing out some scriptures that we take for granted because they're so familiar. I'm pointing out some places in the Word of God that tells us about our deception, and we can get so deceived that we don't even know we're deceived. Now, that's a better statement than you realize. We can get so deceived that we don't even know that we're deceived. Now, I knew Bob Alexander, And I love Bob Alexander. And I'm telling you, Bob Alexander did not just make up his mind one day that he was tired of all of this righteousness and he's going to dabble around in sin. Folks don't deliberately take poison. People don't deliberately play with a coral snake. People don't just deliberately do that, not if they're saved. And you're exactly right. He was either lying or he was lost. We have to go through a process. And that process is orchestrated, manipulated under the control of the master deceiver. I mean, that's all that sucker's ever done. Old Slewfoot has given his life to do nothing but to mess up my life. And all he wants to do is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, that's what Jesus said in John 10:10. And you know what? Everybody thinks that what Jesus was wanting to get to in John 10:10 is, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In the context, that is a spinoff of what he was really teaching. That wasn't the major theme of what he was teaching at that time. You go back and read the scriptures leading up to John 10:10, and he wasn't talking about the life that's in him or the abundance of that life that's in him. He was saying, look out. There's a thief coming. Be careful. They're going to come in my name, but they're not of me. Look out. Be careful. There's a thief cometh. And then he said, now the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now I'm come, you might have life and have it more abundantly, so make up your mind. It's almost that kind of rapid thought. But the thief comes. Now that you can depend upon. Now you're not going to live a day without the appearance of old Slewfoot. You are not going to get through this or any other day without the onslaught. Now, not the devil himself. You probably have never met him. Now, some of you women think you married him, but you probably have never met the devil himself. But I'll tell you what you do. You encounter his emissaries every day of your life. You can't live in this world, even if you become monastic in your concepts, you cannot live in this world without encountering the enemy. They're going to get after you. They're going to find you. You can't hide. You can't make yourself so exclusive or secluded that they are not going to get to you. Demons are going to do everything in their power to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, what are they going to steal? They're going to steal your understanding. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what are they going to kill? They're going to kill the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And what are they going to destroy? They're going to destroy the purpose of God in your life. Now, that's what they ultimately want to do, Grant, is they want to destroy just like they did Bob Alexander. And my heart went out to you because I love you so much. They're going to attempt the same thing with you. Don't you ever get to the place that you think you're impenetrable or invulnerable to that sort of a thing. They want to destroy your purpose. They don't want you to walk on in the way of God. And they will destroy the purpose that God has for you. But the devil knows that he can't monkey with the purpose of God in your life until he kills your joy. I mean, if you're still getting joy out of the things of God, it's not going to be hard to lay your bowling ball on the altar. See, the only reason Bill did that, not because he is spiritual, he did that because he liked what he got out of God more than he did out of the bowling alley. Is that true? Well, sure. And he began to realize then that the bowling was taking away some of the measure of the joy. Don't y'all make a mistake in your conclusions. The devil knows if you have joy in the Lord, he can't destroy his purpose for your life. So he's got to kill your joy. Well, how's he going to do that? Mess up your thinking. Steal your understanding. Where you don't understand why you're supposed to be separate from the world. Get you to where you don't understand why you can't listen to the devil's music. Get you to the place where you don't see anything wrong with the way you are dressing and adorning your body. Getting you to the place that you just don't really believe that your compromise is compromise. He has stolen your understanding. And I'm going to tell you something, it might shock you. And I don't have enough time to develop it, but I'm right. And you'll discover it if you do it for yourself. The only renewal in the Word of God is the renewal of the mind. And every time the Apostle Paul talked about you being strong in the wisdom of the will of God, he talked about your understanding. Now, he'll steal your understanding, kill your joy, to destroy God's purpose for your life. And what you can do is get to the place that you're deceived and you don't even know that you are deceived. Now, there's three major ways that the devil sets you up for deception. Now, one of the reasons God said, I do not want any flesh to glory in my sight, is not because flesh intimidates God. Now, listen to me. God ain't bugged when you brag on the flesh. He feels sorry for you. The reason God said, I don't want any flesh to be glorified in my sight is because flesh deceives flesh. You can deceive yourself. You can be deceived by the devil, but you can also be deceived by others. Now, we are living in a day where there are three things that are paramount to deception. These are they. Number one, credentials. We are highly impressed with people with credentials. And boy, if we extolled the credentials of an individual, we throw our minds in neutral. And we kind of think this is ex cathedra speech. Now, there was a day that if anything was in a book, that was it. And that was it was in a book. It had to be right. If you read it in the book, that made it right. And if anybody disagreed with it, it blew them away. I told my church people one time when I was a pastor, and it blew them away. I said, you're going to learn one of these days that your pastor knows more than your commentaries. Have I ever told you about doing this? They did like you did. Like you're doing right now. Got that dumb look on your face. I said, no, it's not. Don't you get serious with me. Not when I'm teasing. I said, y'all are going to learn. I know more than your commentaries do. And they did just like y'all are doing. Well, explain it. I said, most of your commentaries written in the last 75 years, written by liberals. You can't trust them. Most of the books about the Bible, you can't trust. And I said, furthermore, I am God's appointed pastor teacher for you. And if God wants you to know something, he's going to tell you through me. That's why you better submit to me and you better pray that God won't let me go bananas because I'll mess you up if I do. Now see, y'all thought I was being arrogant. Y'all, you probably thought, well, that guy, you know, he's the most cocky thing in this world. No, that's not cockiness. That's awareness. That's facing reality. The men that preach the word of God to you are God's angel messenger to the people of God. And we have allowed ourselves to get to the place that if somebody, even if he's wrong in what he says, if he's got a whole big credentialed pedigree, he's got to be right. The second way that we are deceived through the flesh is that we've got this idea that what a person has accomplished, that qualifies them. And we're living in a day where we examine the record of a man's accomplishments. Well, some of the greatest people that ever lived never did diddly according to the scales that we use today. Now, I mean, what kind of an evangelist would Noah have been? I mean, preached for 120 years, and when they asked him down at the pastor's conference, how many have you saved thus far? He said, none yet. You study the work of our missionaries, and really, we've not scratched the surface, and some of our missionaries served months and years and never got the first convert. But we've got the idea that if somebody has accomplished a whole lot, then that makes them qualified to tell us what needs to be told. And folks, we have created a monster in that concept, and now we don't know how to kill it. Now, I don't mean this as sour grapes. Well, I tell you how I can keep you from thinking it's sour grapes. I've been there. I've preached at 121 national and state conventions. Four times I preached to the National Southern Baptist Convention. So I've been there so I can say what I'm going to say. We are now at the place that nobody gets on a convention program unless he is pastor of a big church, written some very popular books, appeared on some very prominent television programs, and the world looks upon them as successful. You won't find anybody on a Southern Baptist Convention platform unless they qualify in regard to what they have accomplished. Well, I didn't get a lot of response. But I am telling you, there are men out there that can preach like a buzzsaw. And when they preach, the word of God emanates from them like a Gatling gun. And it goes into the heart of the hearer. And it does what God wants to do. But they'll never make it on a program because their church runs 80 or 90 in Sunday school. They're all out there. But we are being deceived today. And in our leadership right now, I am desperately concerned about the men that are taking over our leadership. They don't even know what Bill Sturm was talking about. They have no idea about bringing the world into the church. God raised up another Van Savner who said the church has come to be so worldly and the world has come to be so churchy that we no longer know the difference. And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting there at, ooh, I nearly called where it was in the name of the preacher. God, don't let me do that. I'm trying to stop that stuff. But I was sitting there when Bill Sturm preached that sermon that he preached this morning, and I saw at that time the most prominent man in the Southern Baptist Convention just get incensed with what Bill had to say. He jumped all over me. He made fun of Bill when he got up to preach. But that same man in recent days has used Bill Sturm in his conferences. And it was 14 years ago. And the things you told us about then were prophetic. And they have come to pass. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know who is going to correct the deception that the devil has developed through the credentialed concept of authenticity and the accomplishment of individuals as being the qualifying element of their ability and right and authority to tell us how to do it. We're in trouble. But there's one other thing. Not only credentials and accomplishments, but have you ever thought about this? Approval. We believe people that are approved. Hello. Now let me tell you what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that if you stand true to the Word of God, you're not going to have many friends. The Word of God teaches that if you preach and teach and testify to the truth of the Scripture, people are going to hate you. Beware when all men speak well of you. Have you ever heard what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Have you ever been aware of what He said? He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. And yet we think if some guy makes it on Larry King Live, woo! He has arrived. Now, I'm going to tell you something, beloved, and I'm not just shooting from the hip and firing. I'm aware of the fact that I'm exposing myself to you for you to be extremely critical of me. You're going to think that I'm jealous, or you're going to think that I'm proud. Take your choice. But I've had my opportunity to go on those programs. Wayne will tell you. Listen, CBS was going to make a one-hour documentary of evangelicalism in America, and they were going to use me for the whole solid hour and follow me for 6 months and video all of my meetings. I said, no, you're not doing that. They said, well, what do you mean? I said, you're not doing that. Now, God gave me sense enough to know that friendship with the world, according to the scripture, is enmity with God. And God gave me sense enough to believe the Bible. And the Bible says that if somebody has a bad doctrine, avoid them, put a mark on them so you won't accidentally run into them again. And I had a time, you remember that, Lou? Where's my wife? You remember that? They bugged me all summer long, didn't they? And finally, well, I won't call any names, but I could call some names of network personalities you would recognize who called me and tried to talk me into it. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted it. I'll be honest with you, my flesh was enthralled. I will be honest with you, I was on the verge of doing it till I'd talked to the master about it. Hallelujah. He won't lie to you. Down on your knees, he'll tell you what to do. And I shut him down. And finally, they called and said, well, we know you're going to be in Purcell, Oklahoma, in the football stadium in a citywide revival. We're going to send our camera crew there, and we're going to take pictures. And I said, if you show up, I'm going to have you put in jail. And I meant it. And they finally dropped me. Now, I know what I'm talking about. It is unbelievably enticing to solicit and accept the approval of the world. Well, I've got news for you. Whatever the world approves, God disapproves. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And you can easily get deceived through this idea. Well, this guy's got great credentials. Look at his educational background. Well, I was preaching to 26 preachers one time, 26 of them. And after about 4 hours of me teaching and preaching and sharing, one of them said, you've just shot my education all to pieces. And I said, how many of y'all are seminary graduates? Never one of them were. I said, did you know the men that gave you your education we're in the process of firing right now? I said, your education is almost worthless. And what you better do is go back and restudy everything them idiots said and take out of there only what the Bible confirms and drop all the rest of it. You're going to go to your grave half educated. That's why the convention leadership had sense enough to know that we needed to get our mainline seminaries like Mid-America Seminary. That's why we did that. That's why it was done. Folks, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Just because men will credential men does not mean they're qualified in the courts of heaven. And just because we believe somebody has accomplished something great does not mean that's what God thinks. There's a very good possibility, Brother Jack, when the day comes that God lets it be known, okay, I'm thinking to hand out my rewards for those who have done a great work for God, the big-time pastors, the big-time evangelists, the big-time singers are all going to get in line. And God may say, probably will say, this is conjecture, you know that. But God probably will say, I'll be with you fellas in just a minute. I want to take care of those that sure enough got my attention. Come here, son. Come here, little lady. Come here. Come here. Come here, Martha. No training. Never did sing in your life. And Bill said you're going to have to sing, and you learned. Come here, Martha. Come here, Martha. Let me tell you, that's going to be a glorious day when God balances everything up. When God balances everything up. And what we do not want to do is to be deceived, because the greatest deception is not knowing that you have been deceived. Because then you go right on doing what you are doing in line with the credentialed, accomplished, approved people who have missed the mark, and you don't even know you're going further and further and further and further away from the mark that God Almighty has established. Now let me give you two or three things out of the scripture that we need to be aware of in regard to this business of deception. You have been deceived when you consider yourself wise other than the wisdom that God gives. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to verses 18 and 19. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Now remember, he had been talking to these believers about being a fool for Christ's sake, and that the world will call you a fool. These guys were under intimidation. The intelligentsia was making fun of them. The Jews were making fun of them. The Greeks were making fun of them. And they were both groups of thinkers calling Christians fools. Said, this is foolish. What's a fool who will believe another man will give himself for your sin? What's a fool who will believe that one mediator can go between God and man and wipe out Judaism? What's foolish? Now that's his reference right there. Let that man be a fool. In other words, go ahead and accept the identity of being a fool, because when you do it, you become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise, and he's talking now about the wise in the world, those who are credentialed, accomplished, and approved. He said, he catches them in their own craftiness. Now, I can't prove what I'm going to say now, but I will predict that there is going to be an infectious, disease-like decimation of all of the grandiose, large, magnitudinous manifestations of supposed works of God. And I think when it starts, it's going to be like an unraveling of a quilt. That day's going to come. I may not live to see it, but I want these guys that love me to remember that I said it, so they won't be surprised by it and won't be deceived with it. I believe that it's going to be just like the Bible says. There's going to be a whole pile of people heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's going to look credentialed. It's going to look big time accomplishment. It's going to look like real approval. But everywhere you find that, there's going to be a little knot of people sitting over here in a secluded, isolated, unobtrusive place that are defending and standing on the word of God. And when the end time comes, there's only going to be a remnant that's going to be saved. Right. Amen. Yes, most of the preachers of the last day, Southern Baptist preachers of the last day, are not even going to be Christians, and they're not going to be taken in the rapture. Now, don't you look at me weird like that. There is no way to reconcile prophetic utterance about the end time other than to say that we are ignoring this element of deception. We believe what is wise, that which the world says is wise. And it's wrong. Now, beloved, this calls, listen now, if you're going to listen to that scripture in Corinthians, you've got to make a decision willfully, volitionally, to reject what the world says is wise. Now, what that means is, now hang on, what that means is that you're going to have to ignore reason. A lot of times, I mean, some of the most unreasonable things I've ever seen in my life is doing what God says to do. You're going to have to ignore logic. Most of what the Spirit of God leads you to do is illogical. You know why? Because logic comes from the pragmatic concept of the world. Well, it's just logical to do that. That just makes sense. You're going to have to ignore the idiom of common sense. And cultured Christians, now listen to me, cultured Christians are caught up in that concept. concept. If it's reasonable, it must be God, because God's not unreasonable. If it's logical, it must be God, because he did everything logically. And if it just makes good old common sense, then it must be of God. And so they head off down a trail that God doesn't have one footprint on. Not a one. Now, if you're going to be wise in the ways of this world, you're probably going to have to defy logic and not be bothered by those who tell you you're defying logic. You're going to have to be willing to defy reason. That's the most unreasonable thing I've heard in my life. And your own family will say it to you. Your own loved ones will say it to you. I'm one of 8 boys. When I surrendered to preach the gospel at age 16, before I turned 17, all 7 of my brothers had made a trip home and got me off in private and tried to talk me out of giving my life away to preach the word of God for a whole lot of reasons, some of which were good. But they were wrong, and they were using good common sense. They were using logic, and they were using reason. Now listen to this statement. Every major move I have made in my ministry, there was not one bit of common sense in it. There was not one bit of logic in it. There was not one sense to it. Not one bit of reason into it. You just have to do what God says to do. Now, don't be deceived. Just because you've got a lot of logic and a lot of common sense and a whole lot of reasoning power, that does not necessarily mean that you're wise in the ways of God. All right, look at another scripture. Well, let me say this before I go any further. I made myself a note and I missed it. Listen carefully. And I'm going to get on thin ice. Secular intelligence does not impress God. Amen. I mean, you can get more degrees than a thermometer and be a dumb bunny. Did you know that? I've met a lot of educated fools. I'm going to go ahead and tell this. One of the greatest heretics that's ever lived in Southern Baptist life is a fellow named Dale Moody. Just a disavowal of the Word of God, especially in the arena of apostasy and once saved, always saved. He and I were preaching in Evansville, Indiana one time. And he had already been in some hot water from some of the other guys, so I'm not totally responsible for having made him mad, but we were having breakfast together that morning, and I said, now, Dr. Moody, I want to ask you a question. I said, do you really believe that a person can be saved and lost? He said, well, now, I need to explain to you the biblical ramifications of apostatizing. I said, no, sir, you don't need to explain none of that to me. I said, all you need to do is answer me, yes or no. And he kind of got red in the face, and he started on his verbal jaunting again. That's the way they do. They talk a lot and say nothing. That's the way they do that. And I finally said, wait a minute, Dale, stop. This is not one of your students, and I'm not a bit impressed by the fact that you are employed by Southern Seminary, and I'm not impressed by the fact that you've got a lot of books written. I want to know, do you believe, sir, that a man can be saved and then lost? And he slammed his hands down on the table, let out an unspeakable explicative, and got up and stormed out and didn't speak to me all day long. Now, let me tell you, God is not impressed just because you go to school. And God is not impressed because you know how to speak 2 or 3 languages or read 2 or 3 languages. God's not even impressed with your ability to deal with the Greek, Dr. Milliken. God's not impressed with that. But when you submit it to him, and God takes what you labored over to get at Southwestern Seminary, when you submit that to God and you lay your education on the altar, as I have known you to do for over 30 years, God said, now I'm going to use that. Yeah. Now it is true, the sharper the tool, the more usable is the tool. That is not a maxim that ought to be dispensed with. I'm not suggesting that. I am not trying to say that to stay away from legitimate technical education. I am not saying that at all. But I am saying just because you got it don't necessarily mean that God wants it. It's what's in your heart and what the spirit of the heart is, because God can use it all. Bill teases all the time, almost everywhere we go, he'll get up and he'll make some little comment about that God calls Papa Sam to speak to the educated and me to speak to the rest of us. That'll settle me in a minute. He said there's more of us than there is of them, and everybody laughs. But you know, the dumbest people in the church house are the people who have an education and have more confidence in that than they do in the illumination of the Spirit of God on truth. That's the most ignorant people in the church house. Okay, now, did you know that God talks about being proud? Open your Bible now, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to thank God soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, folks, you know what that means? It means that what you have, God gave you. And what God gave you, he didn't intend any other man to have, and he doesn't want you to want what some other man has. You are not to be covetous of what somebody else has. Now, we have a terrible, terrible malady among us of raising a standard that is contemporary with flesh. And we've got folks thinking, well, if I can be like him. And somebody asked me the other day, said, do you think that it's okay to try to build a church like Rick Warren has built a church? I said, well, yeah, if you're Rick Warren. Like if you're Wayne Robertson, do exactly what Wayne Robertson does. Yeah, I told Grant years ago, I said, son, stay where you are. You'll build a church bigger than your town. He's doing that, and it's never been done. Now, can other men do that? Well, if they're Grant Etheridge. But see, they're not. You're not. You'll never be a Rick Warren. You'll never be a Wayne Robertson. And they, you. You've got to be what you are. And God gives us a warning. You can easily be deceived. And you, well, now, why did he say don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to unless the potential of that was there? Now, you can get to the place that you have a bloated sense of self-evaluation. You can do that. Now, it's not necessarily humble to badmouth yourself. Best way in the world to get folks to pity and give you attention is to talk about how much of a nothing you are. I had to tell my church members, I had some of them that was always talking about how much of a nothing they were. And I finally did everything but call them by name. I said, there's 18 of you, and I want to tell all 18 of you, as your pastor, quit talking about how much of a nothing you are. We are gradually finding out that you are correct. See, there is positional truth and there is perfunctorial or practical truth. Now, positionally, you something. Yeah, right. Right. Who you are in Christ, you something. God bankrupt heaven to save your wicked soul. You something. Amen. But functionally, perfunctorially, you are only that which you will submit to God to do. And you sustain and stand by grace. And if you ever do get a credential, if you ever do get approval, if you ever do accomplish anything, the Bible teaches it is because of grace and the mercy of the Lord. And real humility is not how much I try to convince Wayne that I know God made Sam Cathy what he is, whatever that is. But real humility is how much do I try to convince God that I know I'm what I am because of his grace. And I'm not suggesting I'm something, but I'm more than I used to be. And I ain't a nothing. Don't you ever say I'm nothing. God don't save junk. Who said that? Ethel Waters? Was that who? Yeah. God don't save no junk. You're somebody positionally. But you've got to remember that you're not. Don't think of yourself more highly. One more thing and I'll close. All right? Let's go. I can comment on that and get it done with. Over in James. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I won't talk a long time about that. It's about your speech. The Word of God said if you don't control your tongue, you're deceived. I'll pick up there tomorrow. Bill, I'm getting good at this business just cutting a sermon off. Do you know that? If I can work with you another year or two, son, I'll just be able to, right in the middle of a sentence, just pick up my Bible and walk off stage.